Namaste to God in me, greets to God in you. Let's get this out of my eyes. Well, today more than ever, it's really hard to find peace with all the turmoil, with all the wars, with all the physical disasters that are going on. It's just very difficult to keep a cap on our pessimistic mind and find peace within ourselves and peace within the whole world. So this morning's talk, I would like to talk about spiritual resistance to the pessimistic mind and what others have done throughout time and in the world to deal with it. The first one I'd like to talk about, and I'm sure to all of you already know a lot about him, is Paramahansa Yogananda. He has written a book, the biography of a yogi, and it was told a lot about his life, but it didn't tell everything. But as the years went by with his lectures, he told more, and I would like to share more that he told with you. In one of his speeches, he actually happened to bring about a talk about how he even decided to come to America and how he got here and all the barricades that were there to stop it from happening. And we're so glad he went through them. Now, in this book, it tells us that he came from a wealthy family. And the father was a great man who had ideas of greatness for his son, going to college, graduating, and becoming a great man in India. But much to his disappointment, his son liked to run off to the Himalayas all the time. Can you imagine having your son? And especially to seek a wise man and sit with them. Now, of course, he wasn't very good in his studies. He was very bad, barely making it through high school. Only through the help of his friends did he even make it. And so after doing this several times, the father was ready to give it up, the idea of his son doing something that he wanted done. But Yogananda came to him one day and said, "I would like to study with a guru. Will you give me your permission to do that?" And he thought about it. He says, "What choice do I have?" "Yes, go ahead." And so Yogananda went about looking for a guru, and he happened to cross paths with a very famous one, Sri Yukteswar. He was very famous in India. Now, Sri Yukteswar already knew all about this young man and what he was going to do. And so when Yogananda asked him if he would be his teacher, he consented. But he said, "There's a condition. You've got to go to college and get a degree." "What? I can barely pass high school. How am I going to get through college?" That's his pessimistic mind speaking. But Yukteswar said, "You need to do this so that people will take you seriously later with what you're going to do in life." So he put a cap on his pessimistic mind and said, "Go for it." And so he went for it. And with the help of his friends and teachers, he made it. So now, you might say that he had to have an unshakable trust in God's will to even venture to do that. He was a flunky in high school, remember? Now back to why he came to America and what brought that about. Well, he was meditating one day with Yukteswar, and he started seeing these images, all these Americans. He's like, "Oh, what is that?" I mean, one after another, he says, "This is God speaking to me. He wants me to go to America." And so that became his life's path, and everything was centered around it and that mission. So he's decided this is all what I want to do, and so I'm going to go tell my dad. And so he went to his dad. Now remember, his dad's a wealthy man, very concrete, very regimented, no chance of taking chances, just you do what works and has worked. Well, his father said, "Are you crazy? You don't have any money. How are you going to get on a boat to go to America? Huh? How are you even going to support yourself when you get over there? And most of all, how are you going to get a passport? Because in those days, passports were few and far between for people to leave India, because most of the officials were sort of afraid that there was a lot of revolutionaries trying to go over to America. And so they weren't granting hardly any passports. Now, when he was there with his father, there was another gentleman there as well that was hearing all of this. And this gentleman happened to be a teacher at the university, I think. And he got to talking to Yogananda and told Yogananda, "You know what? The president of the university is going to America. He might be able to do something for you." "Oh, yeah, Yogananda went. Yay." And so he said, "Please introduce me to him." And after much pleading, the teacher decided, okay, I will. And so he introduced him to the principal. And the principal, after listening to him for a little bit, was very impressed and said, "You know what? I can do something for you." And so he arranged for him to be a speaker at a conference in Boston that was for the Congress of Religious Liberals, a very big event. And Yogananda's, "Really?" And he's like, "Oh, this is wonderful." And he took off and he ran to his friends and told them all about it. And they said, "Oh, that's really nice, but you can't go the way you look." Because remember, he's one of those that goes up to the mountains and doesn't really take care of his looks too much. And so they went out and bought him clothes, groomed him a little bit. They brought him the proper robes for a yogi and the clothes that would be needed to speak at Boston. But they still had a problem with, he didn't have any money for passage or passport. But one of the other friends that was there in the circle said, "Oh yeah, you know, there's a ship going to America." And another one said, "Yeah, but that one's been booked for 6 months. You're not going to get on that ship." But Yogananda, with his spiritual resistance, went to the shipyard anyway. He says, "I want my name on that list." And the secretary who makes the list said, "Uh-uh, that one's already booked up for 6 months. You're not getting on that ship. Go away." And then Yogananda said, "No, I want to go on that ship. Will you at least write my name down in case there's a cancellation?" And the guy, like, "Oh my God, whatever," took a pen, wrote it on his hand. "There, now get," he said. "But you better have a passport when you come back." Well, that was a problem. About then, his father called him to say something to him, and his father said, "You know, we have a relative and you need to go see him. He needs some help. He's older and he just needs some help. Can you please go be with him and help him?" Yogananda thought, "Oh, you're just trying to get in the way. You're trying to prevent me from going on that ship." But he thought about it a while, mulled it over, oh, well, what's it going to hurt? Let me go. And so he went. And so he went to the relative, and they sat down, and they talked for a while, and Yogananda told him about, I'm going to America. And the guy said, uh-huh. And do you have a passport? No, no. Oh, okay. Do you know that those take several months to get, even if you're lucky enough to get one? Because they have to investigate you thoroughly. And Yogananda said, I have to go within a month. And so the friend thought for a minute, you know, I know somebody. Maybe he can help you. Maybe he can help you. So he took him and introduced him to this friend who happened to be a dignitary. And lo and behold, within 7 days, Yogananda had a passport.
Yeah.
Okay, so then he goes back to the shipyard. But he still has no money. Don't forget. No, before the shipyard. He goes back to his father and tells his father how he got the passport. And the father's like, yeah, but you still have no money. Well, maybe God will convince your mind to help me. Never. And he stomped out of the house. And a few days later, Yogananda went back to see him again. And or his father had called him to come back to see him. And he said, you know, son, I went to my spiritual leader, because he was involved in religion there too. And he said, he told me that if Yukteswar says you're going, you're going. Your son is going, whether you like it or not. And it would be wise for you to support him in doing that, because he's going to do a lot over there in America. And you will be proud of him. And so, okay. So then he went and bought him a first class passage on that ship that was going to America. And so then the day came for him to leave. And everybody gathered, and they were all, you know, a bunch of hugs and kisses and crying and everything. And then he took off. And a little bit later, something came up somehow that, you know what? He didn't speak English. He only knew a few words in English. And the passengers were wondering, well, just how are you going to do a talk in Boston if you don't speak good English? But that didn't deter Yogananda. He says, I will do it. I will do it. And they all eyed him because, you know, he looked different in his orange robes and his bushy, curly, long hair. And they thought, but he's in first class, so he must be from a wealthy family. Mm-hmm. And others looked at him and thought, this kid, because he was young at that time, is weird and must be out of his mind to think he can do a talk in Boston. But, you know, that went on. A few days after they're out to ocean, one of the passengers in front of everybody said, oh, Yogananda, can you please do a talk for us on the battle for life and how to fight it? And he's like, are you kidding me? I'm barely going to be able to get ready for the one in Boston. Not do one here all of a sudden for you guys. That's what he thought. He didn't say it, of course. But he sank down in his chair. And he couldn't. He represented the yogis. He could not say no. And so he said, okay. And then another night or two went by, and they were all at dinner. And the captain stands up and says, oh, we are so privileged to be here with a yogi, and he's going to do a talk for you on the battle for life and how to fight it. Yogananda goes, oh, oh, And, but he representing yogis, he has to do it. So he stands up, walks to the front of the dinner tables, turns around and looks at the audience, and stands there for 10 minutes, not saying a word. He said, this is dreadful. This is an awful experience. I can't do this. I can't let this go on like this. And so he calls on Yukteswar. Yukteswar, I can't do this. I don't know. I can't. I just can't do it. And Yukteswar says, oh, yes, you can. And Yukteswar began to talk through him for the talk. And the passengers were so excited about what all he said that they all came up afterwards and gave him their cards and said, can you please come talk to our groups once you're in America? And so we see that there's always something that can happen if you will just let it happen. And that's what Yogananda did. He let it happen, even though he had fears, and we're all going to experience our fears, but override our mind and let it all happen. Like, and he also, Yogananda, later on as he got to America and did his speeches, also did a talk about these two guys that were fighting, and they were fighting for hours. And finally, the guy, one of them, he said, I can't go on, I got no energy, I can't even do one more swing. And he sat down. And the other guy says, one more punch. I know I can do it, just give me one more punch. And sure enough, he punched a guy and the guy fell over and he was out. Showing you that that's really what it takes if we just give it that energy, one more shot, one more belief in ourselves that we can do it. And then Yogananda goes on to tell another story about a tiger swami. Now, in India, there was this ultimate extreme sport, you might call it, where swamis, or tiger swamis, or whatever you call them, get into the cage with a Bengal tiger, a big Bengal tiger, with nothing but their bare hands to defeat that tiger. And there was this one that was famous for doing this. And he got into the cage, he shut the door, didn't even get turned around, and the tiger was on him. Tore his hand, right hand to shreds. His fingers were dangling. And once he got past the shock, the guy rallied and he said, I can't keep looking at that hand. So he put it under his waistcloth and said, I have to do something. And then he thought, I'm going to use my left hand. That'll work. And so he began to swing his left hand. And he has been known for his mighty, fearful fist blows, bone-cracking blows to these tigers. And he did it with his left hand. He came down on the head of that tiger and hit him so hard that he fell to the ground. And the reason for this story, Yogananda says, is sometimes when you think you don't have what you need to put up a good battle, it's just because you're not looking or being open enough to what else can happen and what else can work. And you know, there are many people throughout history who have done this. They have looked to other ways to defeat their pessimistic mind. One of them we know of is Helen Keller, very famous for overcoming her weaknesses and stuff. And Walt Disney. Did you know that Walt Disney worked for a newspaper and was fired because they told him he had no imagination? Can you imagine that?
He showed them.
And Oprah Winfrey, who suffered a childhood of abuse and poverty and being told that she would never amount to anything. And look at her. She overcame because she just kept one more punch, even when I'm down, one more punch. This is what it takes to get through this world and life and find peace, knowing that there always is an answer, a solution. I'd like to share with you something that I paraphrased, or otherwise we'd be here another hour. And it goes like this. God woke you up today while another didn't make it. Don't dare to waste this precious gift of having another day to become all that you were meant to be. What seems impossible really is there for you to rally and give it one more punch. What seems like failure is only a temporary setback to allow the light in you to regroup and roar up. Say to yourself daily, God, before the world works at pulling me down today, strengthen me. I know that I am unaware of all that will happen this day, but you are aware. So I lay down my need to control and judge, and I trust your hand is always over my life. And thank you for another day, for another opportunity to rise up, feeling your love in everything that happens to me today, thus filling me with an unshakable peace that no one will be able to break through, helping me to move through the day unshaken, unhurried, anchored in you. Not because life is easy, but because you walk beside me with my hand in yours to hold me up when my knees weaken and buckle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Reverend Carolyn Larrabee.